Can't find things, don't try or I'll lose you looking, because I'm going to read all the different texts. Now, last week, we brought a message entitled The Splendors of Heaven. I preached on that last Sunday morning, and I enjoyed preaching. I love to preach on heaven. I do. But this morning, what I'm going to do is the opposite part of this, is I'm going to deal with the six horrors of hell. As true as there is a heaven, there is also a hell. And you need to take that very serious. We preach that there's a hell and that there is such a thing as hell, and it's eternal, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. A lot of times anymore, people don't like to preach on hell. But it's too late to find out it's real once you're in it. And one of the things you tell people that they need to be saved, one of the things they need to be saved from is they need to be saved from hell. We want to religiously, that's what our covenant says, by the way, we want to religiously educate our children in the things of the Lord. We want our children to know that there is such a thing as an eternity. Do you all agree with me that that's important? What is the most important thing for your children? Is that they have everlasting life and that they go to heaven at the end of their days. Beloved, you're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. You're not successful if that's what you're holding on to. You need to have everlasting life. So what I'm going to do today, as I've already said, six horrors of hell. I hope I can get this done. If I don't, I'll cut it. But I don't want to cut it. I want to try to get it all in if I can. Mark chapter 9. And here is horror number 1 in Mark chapter 9. I want you to notice the verse 43. And the language here is gauged at showing how bad hell is. That's the purpose of it. To show you really how bad. It's a real literal place. And when you go around telling people they need to be saved, what they need to be saved from is hell. And let me go ahead and read this text. The first horror of hell is eternal. Hell isn't something. There's the Adventists. There's several prominent Adventist preachers that is on television. Now, Doug Batchelor is one of them. They speak good. But I'm going to tell you one thing about it. Their view of hell is wrong. They believe you just burn up and that's it. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. I'm going to show you that this morning. I mean, you just don't burn up and that's it. Hell is eternal. The fire is eternal. The suffering is eternal. Do you see what I'm... And if you really believe that, you need to do something about it, because that begins the moment a person dies. And it goes on. And it goes on and it goes on and it never stops. So our first point this morning is hell is eternal. Now let's look at Mark 9 and verse 43. It says, if your right hand offend thee, it says to cut it off. Now what he's doing is he's showing the severity of hell. I mean, I wouldn't want to cut my hand off. I mean, someone might say, you know, I'd get saved, but I just can't stop stealing. Well, he says, if the right hand offends you, if that's the excuse you're using, he said, then cut it off. He's showing you how bad hell really is. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell in the fire that shall never be quenched. So you see the kind of terminology that he's using. He said, well, I can't keep from stealing. He said, well, cut your hand off then. It'd be better for you to go through life without a hand as to spend all eternity in hell. See, so he's showing you how horrible of a place that this is. Beloved, if you believe there's a heaven, you're going to have to believe there's a hell too. If you believe there's a heaven, there's also a hell too. And you need to flee from it. That's why we say you need to be saved. And what you need to be saved from is you need to be saved from hell. Now, I can preach on this thing. I'm going to address you, saints of God. I can preach on this thing. But it'll matter nothing without the unction of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to take what I'm saying and break people's hearts with it. Some preachers just go to here and they just try to scare people to death. But you have to be more than scared to death. You have to have a change of heart. And you have to be made alive by the Spirit of God. And saints of God, I encourage you to pray for that today. What I'm dwelling on here is something, what I'm preaching on this morning is something that's true. And you need to have it. Notice what it says. If your right hand offend thee, what does it tell you to do? I'd get saved, but I can't stop stealing, or I can't do all of these different things. He said, then cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell. And to the fire that never shall be what? Never quenched. It's never quenched. So he said, and notice what else says in verse 44. Where the worm dies not. Now when he talks about the worm, he's talking about a skin worm. Remember, in the book of Job, he said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God. He's talking about the Cain body. Everybody got me? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a body that decays. But when he says, when the worm dies not, that's a body that'll never decay. When people are casted into hell, here's what it means. They never burn up. They never burn up. It's eternal. Now, the people that are in hell today, the moment they died without Jesus, you go to hell. But I want you to understand something. They go to hell right now in spirit. But one of these days, there'll be a resurrection called the resurrection of the damned. And they'll be resurrected and they'll be given a body and cast it into hell. Does that scare you? It should. But you can't scare people saved. There's some folk I'd like to shake them saved, but you can't do it. You preach it. So what I'm telling you now is when you're telling people they need to be saved, here's what they need to be saved from. Here's what they need to be saved from. Notice what it says. If your eye offend thee, he said, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now look at verse 48. Where the worm dies not. That means the body doesn't decay. That's why it says the worm dies not. And the fire is not quenched. So it's eternal. Hell is what again? Hell is eternal. It lasts forever. Acts 24, I want to read this to you. I'm going to take my time this morning, beloved. I'm not in no hurry. But I want you to know that I'm serious today, boy, about this thing. Some of you need to get saved. Some of you need to trust Jesus. And you need to know that you have, and you need to know where you're going. And you need to flee this place. I've told you this a million times. Parents today are forgetting to religiously educate their children. They push them in all these worldly pursuits, but they forget the main thing. The main thing I always wanted for my children is I wanted them to have eternal life. And I wanted them to go to heaven at the end of their days. That was always my priority. How about you? That's always has been and always will be the priority with regard to a saved parent and their children. You want to see them what again? You want to see them born again. In the book of Acts chapter 24, here's a lot of people right here. And that's the reason why I use this text here. There's a man by the name of Felix. He was a Roman. Paul was before this man, and when Paul had got arrested, so he was like a Roman governor or some type of Roman official. It says in verse 24 of this text, it says, after certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, and she was a Jewess, which means she would have known about hell. She would have known about the God of Israel, but she was a Jewess, he was a Roman. Okay. And it says that in verse 24 that he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. I mean, here's a Roman that wanted to hear about the faith in Christ. I mean, that had been an exciting thing. I love when people contact me and want me to talk to them about the faith, which is in Christ. Now listen to this, verse 25. And he reasoned of righteousness. See, men need righteousness. But the righteousness they need is the righteousness of who? Somebody tell me. The righteousness of Christ. Yeah, they need the righteousness of Christ charged to their account. That's the only thing in the world that can get them there. So he reasoned of righteousness and temperance, which means self-control, which a lot of Romans didn't have much self-control. Righteousness, temperance, and he talked of judgment to come. Now, what did it say that he did? What did it say that he did? Felix trembled. This Roman governor, this Roman official, when Paul laid out things to him, he trembled. It shook him up. But you know the bad thing about it? It never does record that he trusted. Watch this now. Felix trembled and answered and said, "Go your way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." The Bible never records when he ever called him to come back. He trembled. I did a message on that one time. He trembled, but he never did what? He never trusted. He heard it, but he never trusted it. Again, you can't comfort a family with that. When you have a family member that dies, and you just know they were told, but you don't know whether they trusted, that's not no real comfort, is it? You want to know they're born again, you want to know they're saved, and you don't want to know that you're going to see them again, but you're not going to know that if they never trusted. And another thing, and it never changed them. There's a lot of people who profess to be Christians, but it's never changed them. I'm telling you, that's a dead faith. A dead faith will not change it, but a true living faith in Jesus Christ will change your life, and it'll change your life forever, all God's people saying. So horror number one of hell, we looked at last week at the splendors of heaven. Now this week we're looking at the horrors of hell, because you need to hear about both of them. Hell is eternal. It lasts forever. It does. So, can you think of anything on this side of glory any more important than being, saved? Horror number two. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 16. You should know this next text. I've preached on it enough. Luke chapter 16. Horror number two. Horror number one is hell's eternal. You need to hear that from this preacher. I want you to hear it and know it if it's true. Because I've told you. I've done people's services. I've done their services. And they asked the old Baptist preacher to do their service. Because they knew me. And they'll say, "Jeff, you knew them. Did they ever get saved?" I don't know if he. I said, "I don't know whether he did or not." I told them many times. I'd give them CDs of sermons, and I told them about Jesus and things. But whether they trusted or not, I don't know. They never did what? They never said nothing. And never said nothing. Well, the day that you die, I'm going to address the men and everybody else. The day that you die, what comforts your family is where you're at, who you're with, and that they're going to see you again. All God's people say it. That carries you. All right, Luke 16, like I said, this is a text that's got a lot in it, and I'm just going to try to, I want to get all this in today. I don't want to do it again next week, just to be blunt with you. Luke 16, and I want you to look at verse 19. Who preached this message? If you got your Bible and all read, I don't mind that at all, but anyhow, this Jesus is preaching in Luke 16. I think it's important for you to know who's preaching here. Who's preaching here is Jesus, okay? And what he's talking about is eternity and true riches in this text. There's a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. So you have there you have the rich man mentioned. It talked about his clothing. If you have purple, it's usually what royalty wore. Usually only your rich people had purple. It was a special collar for them, and it was a sign of royalty, really. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and which was laid at his gate, and he was full of what? Sores. So he had been a horrible, he probably stunk too, don't you imagine? He wouldn't have been able to go to the shower or anything of that nature. He just kind of laid out in the streets, I believe, and he had, I don't know what he had. Some people think he had leprosy when it says he had full of sores, which would have made him not be able to be around anybody too. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, because oftentimes they had flat roofs, and they would often go in the cool of the evening up under flat roofs, and they would just kind of cool out there and just kind of chill a bit up there. Okay? So what Lazarus did in this text is he would go probably where that man would be eating at, in hopes that some of those morsels would fall off his table and he'd have something to do what? He had something to eat. That's what he hoped for. Doesn't say he got it. It just said that he just had, it might be a good place where you could get a piece of bread, you know. This is the way this man lived. And he says, moreover, the dogs come and licked his sores. So you can see he had some type of skin disease all over him. Some people think he had leprosy. It doesn't say it, but could have. It came to pass that the beggar died. Finally, death took this man. I think it's interesting in the text that we're reading is the only man that's named is Lazarus. I think you need to take notice. He was named Lazarus. God knew his what? God knew his name. You know why God knew his name? Because he knew the Lord. And the most important thing is that you know the Lord. All it says about the other man is that he was a rich man, but he never named him. The one thing we know about this man is he was a lost man. Now watch this. He desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to glory is what he did. This man was a saved man. I want to tell y'all folks a little something. Just because you're saved does not mean you won't have trouble in this life. I don't know who told you that, but that's a lie. We subconsciously think because we're saved, we'll never have any problems. This man had all kinds of problems. God's people get sick. God's people get in pain. God's people have hard times. God's people lose their jobs. But I want to tell you one thing. When you die, you'll go to heaven, though. And you're set for eternity when you know Jesus as your Savior. He doesn't promise you a bed of roses in this life. All God's people see it. Amen. Glorious thing. Well, let me finish this part of it. Verse 23, the rich man dies. He says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He's a tormented man. This happened. Let me give you an illustration. This happened 2,000 years ago. And for 2,000 years now, this man's still in hell. It names him. It says a man. Still there. Can I ask you a question? You know of anybody? Hey, let me ask you a question. What is true riches? True riches is having everlasting life. And you know, there's people in this congregation today that know that what I'm telling them is true. And they're gambling every day of their life with their soul that they're going to get saved one of these days. The biggest gamblers isn't in Las Vegas. The biggest gamblers is ones that gamble they're going to have another opportunity, another day, another time. You're not guaranteed that. You need to trust Jesus. All God's people said. You need to trust Him. Now listen to a man in hell, beloved. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And a rich man died and was buried. For old Lazarus, they didn't bury him. They just probably kicked him along the road somewhere, you know. He probably didn't have any family to take care of him, you know. And in hell, I want you to hear this. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw Abraham afar off. I mean, that'd be even worse, wouldn't it, to be able to be in torment and then you could see. I mean, it seems like they could see glory. The splendors of heaven. That's what it seems like to me in the text, what's said. And this rich man saw it. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But let me tell you something, beloved. The day of mercy had done passed. The day of salvation was gone. Once this rich man died, it was over. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip. Listen to this. Dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue. For I'm what? I'm tormented in this flame. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what the old man told me. When I talk about the old man, I'm talking about Brother Stoniker that preaches at Talcott. He said one time he visited a man, and I don't know what this man was seeing or whatever, but he said that man was screaming to pull me out of the fire. Pull me out of this fire. Pull me out of this fire. He said it just broke my heart. Can you even imagine that? He said, and beside this, there's a great gulf fixed so that that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they that pass to us from them, from thence. And he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him. Watch this now. Here's a lost man, and he's in hell, and I want you to listen to the request. Remember, he wanted a drop of water, right? That's one request that he made. He wanted one drop of water to touch his tongue. Here's the next request. He said, I got five brothers. See, he became evangelistic. But he couldn't come back and give them. Well, he wanted to come back and give them a warning. Probably out of his own, you know, just probably wanting to help himself, you imagine. I mean, who wouldn't want to get out of there anyhow? But he said, I got five brothers. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. But Abraham said, son, you remember that in your lifetime you received good things and Lazarus evil things. And now he's comforted. And what are you? Tormented. And besides this, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us. They will come from there. That means the state is fixed. And he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I got five brothers. I got five brothers that they may testify to them that they not come to this place of torment. And Abraham said they got Moses and the prophets. You know who Moses and the prophets is? That's the Old Testament scriptures. First five books are the books of Moses. The rest of them is the prophets. He's saying they got the scriptures. If they don't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen even if somebody came back from the dead. Oh, God's people, that's how great a testimony is, the Word of God is. And we got the whole book. We got all 66 books. 2,000 years ago, this man was put in hell, and for 2,000 years now, he's still there. Hell is eternal, and hell is torment. There are some of these rock people that, and I used to do it too, listen to some of them goofy rock songs. One song we used to listen to when I grew up was Hell Isn't a Bad Place to Be. Hell ain't a bad place to be. Luke 16 shows you the truth of that thing. Hell is a horrible place to be. It is just as real as heaven is. It is just as real as heaven is. And you need to be saved from it. We always say you need to be saved, right? What do you need to be saved from? You need to be saved from hell. Hell is eternal. Hell is torment. Number three, hell is damnation. Hell is damnation. I want you to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, I want you to understand something about people in hell. Today, they're there in spirit. Does everybody understand that? Ed, if me and you die today, I hope we don't. I'd like to serve a little bit longer than you. If I would die today, my spirit would go where? Remember when Jesus on the cross said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So what happens if I die today, my spirit would go off to be with the Lord. My body would probably be put in the ground somewhere. I hope. But what happens is those people in hell today, they're going to get a body. They're there in spirit, just like the people in heaven's there in spirit. But one of these days, there's going to be a resurrection of the just. How many's heard of that? That means those people that's in heaven in spirit is going to get a new what? Body. We preach on that all the time. But we always forget about the people in hell. They're also in hell in spirit. And you know what they're going to get at the resurrection of the damned? They're going to get a body too. That's why the scripture says, when the worm dies not and the body is not consumed. That's what it says. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Two different kinds of one kind of damnation. Some people will be damned, and some people will have eternal life. If it happened to you today, where'd you go? Jesus had come today, where'd you go? Hell is eternal, hell is torment, hell is damnation. You know, I ain't got much use for people that go around saying the word hell all the time as a byword either. You know what hell is? It's real place. And when you use it as a byword all the time, it's like it doesn't exist. People say all the time, oh, hell. How goofy is that? Just how goofy is that? And people say it so much as it becomes a byword, so it doesn't have the same. I mean, it's intended to have a pop to it. But when people use it as a byword all the time, it's meaningless. I hope you ain't some of them people too that say, well, I'll be damned. That's also goofiness. You don't want to be damned. You don't want to be damned. Horror number four. Let's turn to Jude 1. I'm going to get done. You sit longer and this is a ball game than you do anything else. It ain't going to kill you. Book of Jude. Book of Jude. Jude 1 and the verse 7. I'll probably find it before I get done here today. If not, I'm going to quote it because I want to move. I want to try to get it all in. In the book of Jude 1 and verse 7, here's what it says. It says, the men of Sodom, the men of who? That's all the way back in the book of Genesis. All the way back in the book of Genesis. It says that the men of Sodom are suffering. And that word suffering is present tense. That's what I want you to get. The men of Sodom are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So when you go back to the book of Genesis and you read where God sent fire and brimstone down upon the men of Sodom, upon the city of Sodom, and the city of the plains, too. You know that those people's fate is. You know that their fate is fixed. There's no changing it. So the men in Sodom are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And they've been doing that now since, oh my, the book of Genesis. So you're talking every bit of 4,000 or 5,000 years. And listen to me, they're still there. The men of Sodom are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude 1:7. Isaiah 14. I read this to you not long ago. This is a frightening text too. Isaiah 14. This text is talking about the king of Babylon. I got this one and one more. Y'all stay with me. Isaiah 14. And we're going to want you to begin at verse 4. Now this text is talking about a king. And the king that it's talking about is the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14, and I want you to look at verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Everybody know who we're talking about? The king of who? Babylon. Babylon was enemies of Israel. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased and the golden city ceased? God brought judgment on Babylon. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger and persecuted and none hindered. It says the whole earth is at rest and is quiet and break forth into singing because of the fall of the king of who? Babylon. That's what they're singing joys over. Yea, the fir trees rejoice and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come against us. That's why the nations are rejoicing. I want you to look at verse 9. If you mark things in your Bible, mark this one. Verse 9. Hail from beneath. Everybody say beneath. Where is hail at? Beneath. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at your coming. That chills me, doesn't it, you? Hell is moved to meet you at your coming. I mean, this king would die and he'd go to hell. And he said, hell is moved for you. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they speak say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. All God's people see it. That's a frightening text, isn't it? Well, horror number one of hell is it's eternal. Horror number two, hell is torment. Horror number three is hell is damnation, being damned to hell. That's why you shouldn't use it as a byword. Number four, hell is fixed. I talked to you about the men of Sodom in Jude 7. It says they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's about 3,000 years later or so. The men of Sodom are still in hell. Horror number five, hell is beneath. Hell is beneath. I think it's in the center of the earth. It says it's under the ground. I think that's where it's at. Last of all, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. This will be my last one. Matthew chapter 7. Hell is filled with religious folk too. Let me say it another way. Hell is filled with the religious deceived. The devil isn't as dangerous as when he is, never so dangerous as when he carries a Bible. There's all kinds of religious lost people because we've not trusted the right gospel. Do y'all agree? People get mad at me for years. So I'm already over it all, that kind of stuff. But everybody that says they're saved is not saved. You got to trust Jesus. You got to ask Jesus to save you. Salvation is by grace. You don't earn your salvation. All kinds of people out here trying to earn their salvation. Trying to earn it by their deeds. And you wouldn't even need Jesus if that was true, would you? You just earn your way there. You can't earn your way there. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. In Matthew 7, Jesus preached this sermon to, you know, from what I understand from study, Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. From what I understand, you read his preaching now, he preached a lot on the subject of hell. All right, are you ready? This is my last one. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are religious people. These are religious lost people. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, you want to know what the will of the Father is? The will of the Father is that you trust in the Son. That's his will. Notice verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we casted out demons. Look at all they did. They prophesied. That means they claimed to be prophets. It also says they casted out demons. They did miracles. And it says, in your name we done many wonderful what? Many wonderful works. Now what's Jesus going to tell them in verse 23? Matthew 7:23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were religious people. They claimed they know the Lord. They based their salvation on their wonderful works, but they never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Hell was filled with religious people. Years back, when I started serving the Lord, when I was a teenager, there's one verse of Scripture that got to me. I was raised in Elizabeth Baptist Church. My mom and dad taught me about the Lord. But I was a hellion when I was in high school. I was horrible. And I don't know if I was saved when I was 8 or not. I doubt that I was. I know I was saved later. I made my election and calling sure later. But as far as knowing the exact date and time, I couldn't tell you. I just know I am now. I think that's what makes all the difference, don't you? Here's my text. Here's what got to me. I hope it gets to you if you're lost. What does a man, Matthew 16:26, what does a man profit if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? And what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Well, six horrors of hell is my message. It's eternal. Hell's torment. It's not a place of partying and having a good time. I used to listen to that. I think it was AC/DC, that old rock band. Hell had a bad place to be, was a song that they wrote. Hell ain't a bad place to be. Not according to the Scriptures. Hell is damnation. Hell is fixed. Once you're in it, there's no getting out. Minnesota is still there. But only one thing is going to be different about these people. Do y'all remember what it is? They're going to get a body at the second resurrection. They'll get a body. They're there in hell in spirit, but one of these days they will get a body and be cast it in the Gehenna, which is hell, eternal hell. Hell is beneath, and hell is filled with religious people. All God's people say it. I hope if you're here today, you can't say that you haven't been given a warning. I preached so hard today that I'm tired right now. I want you to get saved if you haven't been. You could be saved right there where you're at if you would like to be saved. The Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do y'all believe that or not? Did God save the thief on the cross? What did he do? Lord, remember me. He was dying on a cross. He had nothing to offer. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Saved him, washed him clean, and give him everlasting life. He'll do the same for you. Bertha, I want to close with a song.